Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've heard many times in our explanations of the Holy Gospel, in the sittings that we've had in the monastery, the talks that we've had in confession, that what it comes down to, what it boils down to, as we say, is our attitude. Some people have a good attitude, some people have a bad attitude. Our attitude is infected or affected by either our passions or by the virtues, either by darkness or by light, either by the demons or by the angels of God. And we have so many examples in the Holy Scriptures, throughout the New Testament, in the Acts of the Apostles, and in the lives of the saints, of those who had the good attitude and those who had the bad attitude, those who were willing to accept the message of salvation, and those who, because of their pride and because of their negligence, were not even spiritually able, not even capable of hearing the message and permitting the message to enter in through their ears and descend into their hearts. And we have to understand, as we've said so many times, but as we forget so often, the importance in our lives of turning to our Lord in repentance, turning to our Lord, acknowledging our weaknesses and our sinfulness. This is precisely why the saints became such great men of prayer, such men of great spiritual stature, because they dealt with their sickness, they dealt with their illness. Because as human beings, they had the parasite of sin, and then they received sanctification inasmuch as they turned away, or rather turned towards God, and then turned away from sin. St. Gregory Palamas always said, "Enlighten my darkness," and then look at what happened to him. He became the light-bearing theologian of the Church of Christ, who expounded unto us in human terms as much as is possible the mystery of essence and energy of God and grace, and how grace comes forth from God, and how we participate in grace, and how we receive grace, and how we become illumined, and how oftentimes we can feel the grace, we comprehend that we have received grace. We walk into church, we understand that there's grace. We're in the midst of the holy services, and we understand that there's grace. We venerate the holy relics, and we experience grace. And finally, we participate in the Holy Eucharist, which is the summit of all those gifts which the Lord has given to us, and we receive grace. And so in today's gospel reading, we heard concerning a man who prepared a great supper. And the Holy Fathers teach us that this man is none other than our Lord. And he called those who were invited, those who were expected to come to the supper. But one by one, they started making excuses. They had a bad attitude. And they didn't understand to what kind of a supper they were being called to. It really is a life and death situation, a salvation situation, or a damnation situation. The first one made excuse that he has land. The fathers teach us that this is when we get distracted by worldly possessions, lands and our possessions. And these things pull us away from God because we become so stuck in these distractions. And he said, "Please have me excused." So, you know that our Lord does not force anybody. He gives us freedom. Unfortunately, sometimes that freedom is to our destruction.
He asked another person, he says, I have 5 yoke of oxen. The fathers teach us that this refers to the 5 senses. How many times have we talked about the 5 senses? And that our 5 senses become sanctified in church. We have spiritual senses, and those spiritual senses need to be keen, and they need to become strong, and they need to function properly. So we come to church, what do? We look at the holy icons. We hear the hymnology and the services. We smell the incense, and we touch, and we venerate, but we also taste and see that the Lord is good. As we said, the summit of all those gifts that our Lord has given to us is to taste of Him. But how can we really taste of Him if we're not prepared? And so this person says, I have 5 yoke of oxen. My 5 senses have captivated me into the worldly things. Please have me excused. Finally, the third person says, I have a wife. Please have an excuse. Of course, this makes reference to the carnal desires, the temptations of the flesh. So it was reported to the Lord that these people weren't really willing to come. And it says in the scriptural passage that he was angry. We know that the Lord is not passionate. The Lord is perfect. But sometimes in the vocabulary, the evangelist tries to express to us a message closest to what can actually be expressed in human words. It's a parable. So the Lord then said, go out and call those who are ill, the blind, the maimed, and so on and so forth. And he did so and reported back to the Lord. The servant was sent again. Call all those about the highways. Basically, call everybody. And so that they can rejoice in my supper. The supper that we are talking about is the mystical supper, the Holy Communion. And we have different meanings in this parable. One is with regards to the chosen people, the people of Israel, the Jewish people, the Jewish nation. At that time, they had their Lord right in front of them, and they rejected Him. And they were saying, the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. Move out of the way, Jesus Christ. The Messiah is coming. And He was right in front of them. God, who is unapproachable in essence, remember Moses trembled when he was able to speak to God, and all of the righteous prophets trembled. But God took upon Himself flesh. He became a man so that we could gaze upon Him and so that we could partake of Him, not just gaze upon Him, but actually partake, to participate. And there's nothing greater than that gift. So the Jewish nation rejected our Lord. There were many, however, Jews who accepted Him. As a nation, however, they rejected Him. They turned away from Him. Being full of malice, envy, resentment, and thinking in worldly terms, expecting a king of Israel, and not understanding who the king of Israel was, and not understanding that the message of our Lord was concerning the Jerusalem on high, not earthly things, but spiritual. But they were looking for a worldly, an earthly king, and they did not find Him. And this is another reason why ethnophilitism is a danger, a big danger. And so those who were invited then, who were not expected to be invited, came to the banquet. That is us. The blind, the lame, the ill, those who are homeless, those who were on the highways. How then can we become worthy of the supper? How can we participate in this holy supper? Only by God's great mercy and loving kindness. We also celebrate the forefathers before Abraham. And in particular, there's a canon for the forefathers, but there's also a canon in particular for the three youths. The three youths who were the three youths of Babylon who entered into the furnace but were not burned. And the three youths had a really good attitude. Because when they were sent into the furnace, they said, "We know, O Lord, that all things are according to thy will. We know that thou art perfect. We know that there is no mistake in you. And we know that we deserve this because of our sins. Whatever comes upon us, if we look at it from a spiritual point of view, we understand that it is because of our sinfulness. It's not a punishment, per se. It's a chastisement. It's a way that God pulls us back. A way that we come to our senses to be able to perceive God's loving kindness. Because without God, we turn away and we do not know what is best for us. And the consequences are disastrous. But with God, we have life. And our Lord knows that. But we don't totally know that. The Holy Three Youths, however, as we said, it depends on the attitude, had the right attitude, and they said, "We know that we deserve this, but speed thou and come unto our aid, for we know that thou art able, if it be thy will." They call upon our Lord to speedily help them because they were in a very desperate situation. How desperate were they? In the fire. In the furnace. Very desperate. There could be times when in our lives we can feel like that. That we are in this desperate situation and that we are in the fire. But gold becomes purified in the fire. And speed thou, if it be thy will, was their supplication. And they understood that all things have to be according to God's will. It was very humble supplication. And God gives grace to the humble, but resists the proud. He resisted those Hebrews, those people of the Jewish nation who did not wish to accept him because of their pride. And he came to the aid of those who were humble of heart, the three children in Babylon in the fiery furnace. There's another meaning. Why is it that we're hearing about this now, a few Sundays before Nativity? If we pay attention to the services, which I'm always telling you to please pay attention to the services, we will remember the hymn that we chanted and that we chant every week during this period. Christ is born, give ye glory. It comes from a sermon of St. Gregory the Theologian. And before we chant the hymns to the Mother of God, when we chant, we praise, we bless, and worship the Lord, we chant a beautiful hymn regarding those children in the fiery furnace. The furnace moist with dew was the image and figure of a wonder past telling, for it burned not the youths whom it had received, even as the fire of the Godhead consumed not the Virgin's womb into which it had descended. They're making a parable here of the fire of the Godhead which entered into the Virgin's womb. It was a prefiguration. For as we said, God is unapproachable in essence. And now, in an awesome manner, he takes upon himself human form. He is sent into the womb of the Virgin. Even as the fire of the Godhead consumed not the Virgin's womb into which it had descended, so did the youths enter into the furnace, and the youths were not burned. But dew was upon them. In like manner, Christians who follow Christ, who worship Christ, in the difficult circumstances of this life and the temptations, the fiery temptations, can receive the dew of refreshment which come to us from our Lord. Let us be among the chosen. Let us be among those who have the right attitude and among those who respond properly to the invitation of our Lord. For not once or twice or thrice, but many times in our life, our Lord will invite us to come closer to him. And there will be many times when we have the opportunity and we do not see it. And there also will be many times when we have the opportunity to come closer to the Lord and we will resist it. The only way that we can escape the bad attitude and this resistance is only by the grace of God. As Abba Dorotheos tells us, when we are in deep temptation, or when we have deeply fallen into any type of a passion, whatever it may be, then we have the saints, for we cannot pull out a big tree on our own. When the tree is just planted, it can be pulled out. That is, when the passions start to make their entry, we can pull them out. But when they grow, it's a lot more difficult to pull them out, and only by God's grace can we pull them out, and only by the help of the saints. We can take advantage of all those gifts which our Lord has given to us, one of which is our supplication to the saints. For us, it is inconceivable to not believe in the power of the saints. And the saints are alive to us, and they respond to us, and we pray to them, and they will help us. And if there comes a time where we feel frustrated, or perhaps we feel that there is no progress, let us be sure that our Lord is testing us and testing our faith. We have to be diligent. It does not matter what the situation will be. We must persist in prayer. And our Lord will look upon that, and there will come a time when our Lord's grace will overshadow us. In repentance, we crush the head of the serpent. We crush the head of Satan. So let us look upon our Lord with humility, with the right attitude, thanking him that he deigned to become man. Thanking him that he entered and descended into the womb of the Virgin. The fire of the Godhead descended and burned not the Virgin's womb. And as he descended into the Virgin's womb, may he descend into our hearts. And may we make a place for him ready, a manger, a cave, thus preparing ourselves for the great feast of our Lord's Nativity, which shall be coming, which is upcoming. And may we truly be sons of God. And in our participation in the Holy Eucharist, let us be cautious. For we must understand that we are called, but we cannot, in a nonchalant manner, approach the Holy Chalice without the proper preparation, which essentially is repentance. Let us prepare ourselves to receive God, but let us also be cautious not to receive when we're in a bad state. For we must first go to confession and repent for whatever the situation may be. Sometimes even with the slightest thought, We may have a thought against our brother, and it could shake our conscience. And we may presumptuously go to receive communion, but the garment is not the right garment for the occasion. Let us put on the garment of light, our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we will participate in him worthily, and that we may be deemed worthy to continue the remaining time of our life receiving strength from our participation in the Holy Eucharist, so that God would deem us worthy to have a Christian ending to our lives, so that we will be able to glorify Father, Son, and Holy Spirit unto the endless ages of ages. Amen.